I keep a book next to my desk that I can just reach down and lay a hold on. It's about 3 inches thick. It's called the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. It's a great tool to use. It often incorporates scripture into a definition or alongside a definition. It was, of course, you know, 1828 was many years ago. Our country had a different worldview back then. And so it's a good, if you're looking for a dictionary for your house, I highly recommend Noah Webster's 1828. And I wanted to read a definition to you tonight and then read these two verses, one from Colossians chapter 1 and then one from Hebrews chapter 1. Last year, doing a series on the providence of God, I wanted to follow up with another message to think about God's providence. Providence, according to Noah Webster, 1828, is the care and superintendence which God exercises over His creatures. Isn't it wonderful to have a dictionary that talks so openly about God? That God's care that He exercises over His creatures. It would be properly called providence. Noah Webster continues, He that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in a palpable contradiction. For the same power which caused the thing to exist is necessary to continue its existence. Some persons admit a general providence but deny a particular providence, not considering that a general providence consists of particulars. A belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. Divine providence is often understood as God Himself. Providence. The way in which God Himself works right in the circumstances around our life, almost like a hand in the glove of circumstances, where you cannot say, I saw God, but you can see His fingerprints. You can tell that was the Lord. How many of you had something happen to you in the past week or month where you looked down or something happened and you thought, God just protected me? Would you slip a hand up in the air? God just protected me. I was very thankful to be able to use Brother Jim Biggs' trailer. I had it loaded with wood and it was on a slight decline. When I was just moving it a little bit, and suddenly it started moving down the hill. It had a lot of wood on it. And I had my truck right there, and I had my large trailer coming toward it, and I didn't even think to take my knee out of the way. And it pinned my knee between the trailer hitch and the tongue of the trailer, and it just stopped right there. And I went, whoa! And then I got my knee out, and it was fine. And I thought, that's when you say, that knee's going to just deal down here just for a minute and thank the Lord, because God was good. Could have crushed my knee right there. But have you ever had it where you weren't thinking about the Lord until something bad happened, and then all of a sudden you were saying, thank you, Lord, you are so good. It is, you've seen the hand of God. And I love several things in this definition. One is that he says, he that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in a palpable contradiction, for the same power which causes a thing to exist is necessary to continue its existence. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. There it is again. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. They're held together. Hebrews chapter 1 speaks of God. I love these verses. In Hebrews 1:1-4, it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you know that God upholds all things by the word of his power? All things are upheld by him. Providence is not always seen immediately. We do not always look at the circumstances we're going through and see God's hand. But often we look back and say, with clearer vision, you say hindsight is 20/20. Sometimes we look back and say, that was God's dealing. That was God's work in my life. And I think we get a view of the details of providence in verses that speak of a sparrow that falls, and a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God seeing. And Luke 12 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I know some say, well, that's a lot easier for you. It's hard. I mean, it's a lot easier for me, but maybe they don't have as much hair. But think of it. Some of you are numbers people. You love numbers. You love math. Did you know that God is a numbers person? That's a constantly changing figure. He knows not just when a sparrow falls, but he knows when a hair falls. Shocking. No one else has that number. God knows the rate of hair fall. God can look back at your life and say, there were a lot of hairs falling during those 2 weeks when you had a hard time. God also, it's amazing, God speaks of lilies and how they toil not, neither do they spin. You talk about a God who pays attention to details, and that is how he clothes them, clothes the lilies of the field. Or what about consider the ravens, Luke 12:24, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? What's the point? God works in small ways. And I want to bring out tonight just two things. One very comforting, one I think convicting. The one that's comforting is this. If we could see more of the unseen providences of God, we would be comforted. If we could see more of the hand of God at work in our life and be looking for it, we would have such, as Noah Webster says, a belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. Did you know that small things can change the course of your life? For good or for evil? What was the first small thing that changed the course of humanity? Adam reached out and took a piece of fruit and ate it. Small thing changed the course. What about Joseph telling his brothers a dream? Nothing wrong with him sharing the dream, but then Joseph, his brothers, one or two of them becomes envious, and then that brother's envy and jealousy goes to share it. Maybe they had a conversation. It goes to the next brother. And then after a while, that jealousy turns to a rage and their brother is favored. And before long, they've sold him 13 years and he rises to the top to be with Pharaoh. And he says, what ye meant for evil, providence, God meant for good. There's so many in the Bible. Can you think of a man who altered the course of an entire battle because of his sin? Achan. Can you think of a man who, because of not disciplining his own household and his own kids, the ark of God is taken? Shiloh is burned? What was that man's name? Eli. Can you think of a man who, there's so many we could choose from. Thousands died because he numbered the people. David. Little things. For positive, for negative. Small things can make a difference. And I want to take the negative side and kind of intermix. I'm going to go back and forth between the comfort of the small providences of God and the conviction of letting small sins go. You see, there's God's side. God does great and want every good and perfect gift is from above. But we tend to do, well, we're not as good as God, are we? We sin. And when we let little sins go, makes a big difference. 1 Corinthians 10 speaks of Israel and says, these things were written for our admonition. Basically means, if you do this and this that Israel did, here's how your life will turn out. Or the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. And it's, I'd like you to go to a verse in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. What is James 3 known as? The chapter about the tongue. The tongue. James chapter 3. Verse number 5. This whole chapter is about the tongue, most of it. And it says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What does the Bible say about the tongue? Just a little member. Yeah, it's, As a boy, I was always grossed out when I walked in the grocery store down the meat aisle and I saw this great big, and I read it, and it said it was a cow's tongue. I remember turning to my mom and dad and going, do people eat those things? And she said, we don't. Yeah, cow's tongue? Oh, gross! And yet, the human tongue is much smaller than that, isn't it? And yet it boasts of great things. What's the Bible saying? The tongue's a very small member. It's littler than the rest of your members for the most part. What's the big deal? Well, verse 5 says it boasts great things. And it can become a fire. A world of iniquity, the passage says. A world, a cosmos. It can become a whole world system. Did you know there's a little part of you that's a little rebel? It's your tongue. A little rebel. Always running around. Running off at the mouth. This is stirs up iniquity, talks deadly, sets on fire the course of nature. It's we had a very small, we're burning something, and I had, we're moving into in a house in the area that has a barn. And the barn has not been mucked out in front, looks like 155 years. And so there's manure that's about 3 feet deep. Okay, it's probably 2 feet deep, but it looks like, no, she says it's 3 feet deep. So Cassia would know because she's been out there with a pickaxe trying to get the stuff out. And so she's been carrying it out by wheelbarrow. And we've got wheelbarrow, just piles of it around because we're going to try to till it in. And we're starting this. We had a little fire off the side. And let me tell you, 150-year-old, no, not that old, manure, it starts on fire real easily. And a little flame, little spark flies up, and there's a fire starts smoldering. Before you turn around, there's a great big black spot over here that's on fire. And I was putting out manure fires. I never done that before. All day long. Every time I turn around, I'm putting out a manure fire because some little bitty spark flies up. I didn't even see it. I watched it. There's no sparks. That was loud. There was no sparks. And fires are starting around the manure pile. That's, what is this? And I was thinking about the power of a spark to start a fire. And it's true. It's too easy to let little things go. And it's you meet the wrong person. You shouldn't be around. And a word not fitly spoken is said. And there's a little bit of teasing going on. And it's a little bit of flirting. A little laughing. A little spark. And it can be devastating. It's dangerous. It's sad. Folks think they can control their lust. There's only one person who can control us, and us submitting ourselves to the Spirit of God. It's yielding ourselves to Him. It's this decision. And providence, on the other hand, in spite of all these small decisions we make, have you ever had a time where God in His providence warned you? It's almost like God put something in your path just to, like a flare went right across your bow. And you just saw this go by, and it was, you know what it was? It was God in His providence maybe allowing your sin to find you out. My mom, I just always thought she had eyes in the back of her head. Every time I tried to do something, she was just more canny than I was. She could see it. She could spot it. I'm sure I got away with things, but my mom seemed like she caught everything. I remember at one time thinking, does my mom do anything other than just watch me? And I'm sure she would tell you that it was a full-time job. But she caught me so in it. I look back and I say, you know what? That was the providence of God. And now I pray for my children that, Lord, if they do wrong and they're getting by me, may they be caught quickly so that it doesn't snowball and they get into worse shape. God sends warnings. That's God. Amen. That's providence. Sparks, when you need a fire started, a fire of revival in your life, God can blow on the coals, and a spark can be a good thing, but a spark can also be a world of iniquity. God can send us red flags and cautions. Can you hear the voice of warning? Do you know, in a message like this, it's not uncommon for the Holy Spirit just to say, He doesn't know, but I know. It's a warning message. It's me. It's the God who takes care of sparrows and ravens and knows your hairs on your head. It's me warning you. It's important. It's maybe it's even as much as a husband who's just being hard on his wife. He's just being mouthy to his wife. Maybe he's saying, well, it's just words. No, words hurt. And sinful people destroy good things. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. This is, I think, how easy it is just to complain and let little complainings go around the house. I have 8 children, and we have complaining sometimes. And maybe they get it honest from their dad. Maybe God has to deal with me sometimes too. The complaining and murmuring puts it in the heart of children that God doesn't treat us right, does He? Maybe it's because God's not good. Do you see what complaining does? Complaining is deadly. It's treacherous. It's wrong. Psalm 73 is really curious. Psalm 73, Asaph, he is leading the congregation, and you see it in verses 2 to 13. You get to 15, it says, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Now, think about that. If I say, I'm going to just go ahead and say it, then I would be offending all those around me. Sometimes we have things come to our mind, whether it's complaint or criticism. We need to stop and say, you know what? If I say that, that's going to offend the generation that's coming up who hears that. And Asaph, he was thinking wrong. He didn't let it out. And it's in the Psalms. We cannot afford to complain inwardly or outwardly. Psalm 42, here's a man who's discouraged. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? But he's talking to himself. Hope thou, talking to himself, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. How many of you, I do this all the time. How many of you enjoy, you talk to yourself? I talk to myself. I find myself going down the road and I'm talking to myself. I feel when it's bad. It's bad when someone says something to you and you continue the conversation when they're long gone. That's bad. But when you're just talking to yourself, and we like to say we do that because we enjoy an intelligent conversation. But here's a man who God recommends it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are it's good to ask ourselves. So, Joe, why are you discouraged? Answer the question. Is it because you didn't get what you wanted? Is it because the day isn't going the way you want it to? So why are you discouraged? You ought to answer the question.
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
No, answer the question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Stop that. Hope thou in God. It's a good conversation. And then command yourself to do right. Hope thou in God. Someone needs to tell you to do right. This is, it's a great passage. It's incredible how we can let little things either, that we can, little complaints, little murmurings. How about Proverbs 17, verse 14? Proverbs 17, 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Oh, the beginning of strife. So, you know, the battles, what is the battle when it's about ready to start look like? When you first open the dam, it's about to get messy. Or there's a breach in the dam. A dam can hold back a lot of water. But what happens when the Hoover breaks? Devastation. And here's a passage that says, it says that, well, you just think it's a small thing, one provoking word. Did you know there's people that you don't have to think too hard to think of them, but their language, it's not that they curse, it's not they say bad words, but when you're around them, they just prompt you to think in a way that is not helpful. Maybe they talk bad about people. Maybe they talk down. Maybe they tear down others. They're contentious. You know what? How about this? The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. How about leave off that person? On the phone and they started up. Okay, gotta go. I'm going to pick on one of my girls. One of my girls has a dear, sweet friend she was talking to, but I needed her to get off the phone. And so I came out and just asked her to get off the phone, and she did. But she had a hard time ending the conversation. And it wasn't that Cassia was talking. It was her friend wouldn't stop. See, I let it out. But her friend wouldn't stop. And she asked me afterwards, how do you end a conversation? Well, there's the fast way, click. But there's a better way than that. You can always say, excuse me, Dad said I got to go. I'll talk to you again later. That's the easy way, okay? Or you can just say, oh, got to run. Sorry, time's gotten away from me. You say, but that would be interrupting. Some people, that's all you can do. Because they don't have a comma. They don't know a period. You just interrupt and just say, excuse me, I'm sorry. I need to, I've got something I've got to do. You don't even have to tell them what. Don't even have to tell them. And did you know that sometimes there are some people, when they turn the conversation another way, you're either going to need to confront them and say, listen, that's not right. We can't talk that way. And that might be the best thing to help them. But at least end the conversation and get out. It's little things. Little things. Did you know the Bible warns us? I started making a small list. It's a very short list. The Bible warns us about little foxes that spoil the grapes. The Bible warns us about little flies that get in the ointment. It warns us about a little folly that ruins someone who's in reputation. A little folly and a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Little spark. And I want to just challenge you with two sides. One is our side, that we need to look out for the little things that cause us spiritual trouble. And look out for the little hand of God at work in our life. And if you and I will focus on the little things, that will help us not to go too far down the road to bigger things. If we'll focus on the little encouragements and consolations of God, we'll be able to look back and say, I saw the Lord at work in my day. I saw God at work. And it really, this whole message is kind of a paradox. Put out the spark of sin before the manure pile starts burning. Blow on the spark when you see God at work in your life. And may God have a revival fire that you continually see. Yeah. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you are continually at work in our life. I pray you'd help us behold what, like James says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I pray that you'd help us that there would not be sparks that turn into raging fires because of thoughtless words, unkindnesses, because we're complaining, we're not careful. And Lord, I pray that on the other hand, we would see the little sparks of your working in our life and that we would notice your fingerprints all about us. How many would just say tonight, I can look back even this past week and I can see the fingerprints of God in my life. I can see it. I can see it. Hasn't been an easy week. May not have been a great week, but you can see God at work. Would you slip a hand up in the air? I can see it. I can think of something where I saw the hand of God. That's wonderful. It's encouraging. It's a consolation, just like Noah Webster said. How many would say, I can also see the little sparks that if I'm not careful, it's going to turn into a fire. Maybe Pastor Lane didn't mention it. Never touched on it. But God knows and you know. We need to stamp those sparks out before it turns into a fire. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. How many would just say, Lord spoke to me about something? That's something, a little spark. A little spark. Again, Father, thank you for tuning us to you just for a few minutes tonight. Thank you for your active hand at work in our life. May we constantly be seeing what you're doing in our life. And Lord, I pray for those like Mr. and Mrs. Koning. I know they would be here if they could. May they see your constant comforting hand all this week. I pray you'd help us as we go to prayer, that you'd bring to our minds all the things we ought to bring before you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.